every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Let me tell you why. I was the original podcast. Back in 1994, the Talk America Radio Network said to me, guess what? You're going on the internet. And we're live in like 100 countries, something like that. Of course, then it went to 160 countries. Now it's better than 200 countries. Bottom line is, we're a worldwide on the web. Of course, a world wide web. That's what they used to call it. And live coast to coast on the radio. Straight up, who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champ, was nationally ranked as a boxer, and I'm an award-winning boxing journalist, so I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I'm not the guy that watched the fight. Millions of people, like somebody told me, better than 13 or 14 million people watched the Terrence Crawford-Canelo Alvarez fight. Of course, that was all about Crawford. Crawford did his thing from one round to the next. It was over before it started, because I told you, if I was Terrence Crawford and I had his skills, of course, I was left-handed and I didn't have his skills, but the bottom line is, if I was left-handed and had his skills, Canelo Alvarez wouldn't win him. He wouldn't win a minute of a round with me. It wouldn't be. With his two left feet and that kind of stuff, I'd be slapping him left and right. And that's just the way it went down. Canelo walked into things, and guess what? You know, the brave Mexican champion. Oh, the iconic figure from down south of the border, all that kind of good stuff. Of course, the Mexican icon. He didn't even try. I mean, here's what's up. There comes a point in the fight where you say to yourself, guess what? What I'm doing is not working. So either I've got to gamble or I'm just going to lose. Well, guess what? He decided he was never going to gamble. I'm talking about Canelo Alvarez. Not Canelo, Canelo Alvarez. Straight up, hopefully he just goes away. But somebody told me he's got a contract for like $200, $300 million to fight two or three more fights. Good Lord. Remember, he never fought David Benavidez, and the Mexican fans gave him a pass on that one. Why? The guy was number one for like 3.5 years. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Joe Frazier saying, guess what? I'm not going to fight Muhammad Ali? 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Hello, Americans. It's Uncle Sam here. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS or state, don't worry. I've got important news that may help you negotiate a lower tax bill. In today's economy, the IRS has released a variety of new rules and is offering more flexible terms to help Americans looking to settle their IRS debt. If you apply today, we may be able to lift your wage garnishments and release a freeze on your bank assets or business. Our team of tax professionals can resolve your case and stop collection actions against you. Even if you've been audited or haven't filed a return in years, they can help. Call right now and find out if you qualify to settle your IRS debt for far less than what you owe. Pick up your phone right now and call us for a free $500 IRS tax review. Don't wait. Here's the number.
Call right now. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215. Again, for the last time, that's 800-943-9215.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
We'll find out tonight how much the Ali fight took out of Frazier, if anything. And we'll find out tonight just how good George Foreman is in punching and in taking a punch. I think he hurt Joe Frazier. I think Joe is hurt.
Frazier's hurt.
Angie Dundee, Ali's trainer right next to me, is saying it. You may hear him. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory eight count, and Foreman is as poised as can be in a neutral corner. He is as poised as can be. We have a minute left in this first round, and already this fight is proving out what some have expected. Oh, that left is getting in there. Underneath, Archie Moore is yelling to Foreman. We've got the excitement here that we look for. Frazier is dazed. He is getting hit again and again and again. The same head that was hit so often by Muhammad Ali. Frazier is dazed. You see the countdown for the first round. Foreman has not panicked. Foreman is going about his job. Foreman is all over Joe Frazier. Frazier is down again, and he may be. No, he is rising. He is game. He doesn't know where he is.
Of course, Joe Frazier turning down a fight with Muhammad Ali and took it with George Foreman instead for like $1 million bucks or a little bit less than $1 million bucks when he could have got $4 or $5 million to do another fight with Ali. He didn't want to do it. Of course, the first fight, March 8th, 1971, they fought again. And of course, Ali won the second fight with a 12-round decision. It was a bit of a boring fight. The guys held each other back and forth. Of course, Joe Frazier complained about that fight. His trainer, Eddie Futch, complained about that fight. Eddie Futch, when he went to his grave, he was complaining about the referee's performance in that fight. But straight up, the third fight, of course, went down. Wow, it was the anniversary. It was like the 50-year anniversary, September the 3rd. It was just nasty. If you look at that fight, the Kimbos, the thrill in Manila. Of course, President Ferdinand Marcos putting on this fight over there. And, of course, he made it a big spectacle. And lots of people attended. And, of course, I think like close to like 70,000 people were in attendance in like an outdoor arena. So it was a pretty outdoor and indoor arena. So the bottom line is, you know, Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, this was the thrill in Manila. This was a fight that basically ruined them both. They were never the same after this. Of course, and Ali, when he kept taking punishment fight after fight after fight after fight, he wasn't winning fights and not getting beat up. He was getting beat up and winning fights, and that's not the way to, you know, for as far as longevity and health is concerned. So we're going to go into the Muhammad Ali Boxing Reform Act, and the Muhammad Ali Boxing Revival Act are two different things. The Reform Act was the 1996 law put together by Senator John McCain of Arizona. May he rest in peace. He did run for president one time. He was a good guy. He spent some time around me. Didn't answer a few tough questions that I put forth regarding the Arizona Athletic Commission. But the bottom line is, in 1996, he came together and he put this law together. It was going to protect boxers. He wanted to protect boxers. And there, you know, the fact that most boxers get screwed by promoters and managers and that kind of good stuff. In fact, you know, they call boxing the red light district of sports. Of course, the red light district means that, you know, hookers, prostitutes, drugs, that kind of good stuff, violence, all that goes down in the red light district. So what I'm trying to tell you is that boxing is the red light district of sports. There's no doubt about it. And I think we really see it nowadays with Jake Paul and things like that. We'll get into that a little bit later. But the bottom line is, when you look at this fight, the punishment that both men took, it was, you know, I've said this before. Ali told me he wanted to quit. He said, I told him to cut off my gloves, take them off. He didn't want no more. Ali said it was the closest he ever came to death. And, of course, across the ring, Eddie Futch, the aforementioned Eddie Futch, may he rest in peace. He was just a wonderful guy. He just was. I mean, I call him the godfather. Of course, I call a few guys godfathers. There were a few trainers who were godfathers. Eddie Futch was one of them, of course. Angelo Dundee, another. But Eddie told Joe Frazier that night, listen, son, I'm going to stop this fight, and you got nothing to be ashamed of. And he had nothing to be ashamed of. But the residual effects from boxing, when it took on these two guys, talk about Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali, it's just unparalleled. It is. And, of course, I spent time around Ali. I spent time around Joe. Joe Frazier, he drank a lot. You know, I mean, that was his prerogative. But when he drank, he got nasty. And there were two sides of Joe Frazier. There was a nice guy, and there was the not-so-nice guy. I was going to say something else, but the not-so-nice guy. The not-so-nice guy was always challenging. I mean, you say something like, how are you today? What do you care how I am? I mean, things like, you know, come on, man. What are you asking? I'm asking you questions. Mention the member of the news media asking you questions, things like that. Yeah, how are you today? Well, what do you care how I am? Things like that. I mean, that was Joe Frazier. He always had an axe to grind. In fact, you know, we never did any, we did these Ali things. We had Ali up here, like in Sacramento, and Ali up here in Miami, and Ali up here, and we did one in Pittsburgh, and I think we did one in L.A., just Muhammad Ali appearances. And sometimes we would bring other champions along, like Larry Holmes or George Foreman or that Ken Norton guy. Of course, with Ken Norton, I had some problems, not once but twice. But the bottom line is, we used to come bring these guys and bring them to an autograph session and get some car dealership or something like that. We'd pay Harold Smith like $100,000 to do this. And of course, the guys, we'd all get about 10, this and that. And I'd get my 5. Everybody got a cut. When it was good, it was good. But the bottom line was, we didn't want to take Joe Frazier on any of these tours because Joe was so unpredictable. Of course, I worked the King Vision fight. I think it was at the Omni in Atlanta. It was Vander Holyfield defending the heavyweight title against Vaughn Bean. And in Vaughn Bean's corner was Butch Lewis, the late promoter of Michael Spinks. Of course, he comes to us from St. Louis. But there was Butch Lewis and there was Joe Frazier. And when I went into the dressing room before the fight to interview Vaughn Bean, who had no chance, Slim and none, and Slim wasn't in town. I mean, he had no. Anyway, bottom line is, I smelled booze. I couldn't believe how strong the booze was. I mean, I was like, wow. I was a cop, and I don't drink, and booze, boom. I mean, just hits, boom. I couldn't believe how much alcohol was in that room. I mean, Vaughn Bean must have been high just drinking it. I mean, just smelling it. It was almost like he was drinking it. That's how much liquor was in the room. Anyway, bottom line is Joe Frazier and Butch Lewis were drunk. They went out there. Of course, during the fight, they were calling the referee Brian Gary. Of course, he just lost his wife a few weeks ago, but Brian Gary's a good guy. They were calling him a honky and a white honky. They called him a lot of racist terminology, a lot of F words. They were dropping all kinds of stuff. And yet, Brian Gary remained a professional, and he didn't throw Joe Frazier out of the arena. And I always asked him, why didn't you step in and throw his big mouth, that big drunk ass out the arena? You know, 6'1", not that big. Bottom line is 5'11", whatever. But the bottom line is he respected Joe Frazier, the fact that he was a former heavyweight champion of the world. He was going to do that to the former heavyweight champion of the world. Just wasn't going to do it. But had it been anybody else, he would have thrown him out. Of course, that was a night that I sort of figured out that the residual effects of professional boxing and alcohol are just not good, especially, I said, you're taking beatings like Joe Frazier took. Of course, Joe Frazier would die of liver cancer. That was supposedly alcohol-related. But at the end of the day, the punches that these guys took, those 15-round fighters, it's unparalleled, and guess what? It's unnecessary. That's why we have 12-round fights today. People say to me, you want to go back to 15-round fights like the WBA? Are you kidding? You see what it's done to these guys? The CTE, the chronic traumatic encephalopathy, the brain damage? You got to be kidding. We'll take in Stitch Duran after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Yeah.
Hey, vacation lovers. It's finally time to use all those random facts you learned on TikTok for something that actually matters. It's the Radio Trivia Challenge from thevacationbuddies.com. All right, here's how it works. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll score a complimentary 3-day, 2-night getaway from the Vacation Buddies. You'll stay at none other than Westgate Resorts, in your choice of Vegas, Orlando, Myrtle Beach, or Branson. You ready? According to Travel Stats, which of these three cities is the most visited vacation destination in the U.S.? A, Las Vegas, B, Orlando, C, New York City. First 10 callers get the trip. So stop scrolling and start dialing. And let's see if TikTok actually taught you anything.
Be one of the first 10 callers. Call Vacation Buddies right now. 800-340-1834. 800-340-1834. 800-340-1834. That's 800-340-1834.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
There's been a cliche that a black man in this country had either athletics or show business, and that was about all he could make it big in, and you know, for years. That's not true anymore. With that in mind, would you still tell a 12-year-old kid of your own to go into...
Yes? Number one, I say, kid, your chances of being a great fighter are good enough to make a good living is about 100,000 to 1. And if you spend the most of your life trying to be a fighter and you get hurt or you don't make it, your whole life is ruined. It's too late to get education. It's too late to look for a trade or something to fall back on. I say, no, take your mind while you're quick for developing, go to school, learn to read, learn to write, be a mechanic, be a doctor, be a lawyer, get your brains together, box the exercises, but get your brains together, get educated, and get a trade, because you might not make it, and there's too much risk involved. No, go to school.
What can I say? It doesn't get much better than that. Of course, go to school. Don't be a fool. But the bottom line is, of course, education first. And, of course, we talk about boxing a lot on this show. And the fact that I used to box as a kid. I was boxing 9, 10, 11 years old and 12 years old. And then I quit for a couple years and came back. But the bottom line is, a lot of the guys that I boxed with coming up are not running on 8 cylinders. In other words, you sort of look at them. Some of their eyes are like off center. And when your eyes are off center, that's an indication of neurological damage and things like that. But the bottom line is, I wasn't really hurt that bad, but some guys are. So what I'm trying to tell you is that we're bringing a man right now that knows a lot about the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. Talk about the premier cut man, both in boxing and MMA, Mr. Jacob Stitcher. And how are you and your lovely wife today, sir?
We're doing great, Pedro. It's always good to hear from you. And, I remember you in those young amateur days, man. Yeah. You know, the old fight with you and Paul Carrasco. And, I remember those days.
Somebody said to me, I remember the losses more than they do the wins. You realize, 38 and 14. And I remember like three losses more than I do any of those Golden Glove wins, the Nationals, none of that. So I'm serious. Am I dwelling on the negative or what?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all right. Hey, listen, for me, I've worked with so many fighters, it's not about winning or losing. And, you know, what Muhammad Ali said was great, man. But, you know, you have to be a gladiator to just get in there and receive those shots. And not anybody could do that. So courage to everybody.
You know, I was talking this morning with somebody, and they asked me what it was like to fight. I said, it was good. But then they remember that one time when I fought Juan Rodriguez here locally, and I was beating up Juan in the gym so bad that the cops should have came in and arrested me for assault, okay? So then we had a real fight. He kicked my butt. You know what I mean? Like, wow, I wasn't scared of him. You know what I mean? I just wasn't scared of him. And I remember my training team said to me, mate, you're taking this guy a little lesson. You see what I do to him with 14-ounce gloves? So, yeah, anyway, I wasn't scared, and I think I've got it. I think you have to be scared in order to be, to an extent. Is it scare? It isn't fear. 100%. Is it fair? It isn't fear, but it's being scared. There's got to be some anxiety involved. If there isn't, you get flattened.
100% right, and you know what? You're right, because I tell people, I said, you guys, boxers, they're modern-day gladiators, but deep inside, they're all babies, and my job is to take care of the baby.
Yeah.
You know, and so that is, I mean, respect, like I said, for me, it's not about winning or losing. You're in there, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. It's a game of numbers, you know, but my job is to make sure that, you know, they're not like your friends that are already having cross-eyed and all that, you know, is protect them.
50 years ago this week, of course, Ali Frazier engaged in the third fight, the Thrill in Manila. Muhammad Ali told me it was the closest he ever came to death, that he was asking them to cut his gloves off between the 14th and the 15th round. Across the ring, Eddie Futch was analyzing Joe Frazier and about to stop the fight, okay? But at the same time, Muhammad Ali was saying, cut my gloves off, I'm done. And I asked him about that, and he said to me, it was the closest I ever came to death. I couldn't imagine it. He goes, I think if I went another minute, I would have died.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty serious. But that's where the mind takes over. You know, and it gets you that one more round.
Well,
so as a matter of fact, Nico Ali, Muhammad's grandson, is going to be fighting in the Philippines October 29th.
Is he really?
The Thrill in Manila. Yeah.
So are you working with him?
No. I mean, we know each other. He his coach does his cuts and all that. But now we're good friends. And, you know, he's against the Muhammad Ali Reform Act.
The Revival Act.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, man.
We'll get to that in just a second. How good do you think he is?
He's good. You know, he's a good B-plus fighter, you know, and, you know, I think he has to stay active. And but, you know, him and his brother Bellagio, he fights for PFL and MMA. Yeah. So they're both a little gladiators.
You talk about that B-plus status. You know, Amanda Stewart told me that. He said to me, when I didn't turn pro, he said, you know, that was the best thing you could have done. I said, what? He goes, yeah. He goes, because you were doing like maybe a BB plus type of pro, but you weren't getting no titles, this and that, and you had a good living at the time, this and that. It was the smartest move you ever made. Of course, when I was with the police department, a couple people came to me, like, said, we want to put together the syndicate and turn you pro and this kind of stuff. They were talking about giving me like $35,000 a year. I was making 50 as a cop.
Yeah. I can see that.
And they want to be fighting, and I said, they would take a 4-round fight, so we'll give you like $1,200 for a 4-round fight, plus a little small salary. I go, come on, you got to be kidding me. Anyway, plus I looked at those little gloves, switch, and I never want to get hit with those little gloves. Those gloves are too small. It's like getting hit with a fist.
Yeah, they're really designed to hand more than to,
Okay. Really, here's a question for you. Why do guys that can't punch wear puffy gloves? Use puffy gloves is because they're contracted to a certain company or this and that? Because, I mean, a lot of these guys that can't punch, if I couldn't punch, I'd be wearing the Reyes gloves every single time. Every single time.
Yeah, if you can't punch, you got to work on speed, right? That'd be your counter on that. And we talked about it yesterday. Combat sports is the only sport where me as a cut man, you as a trainer, none of us have to be certified to be called pros. We don't know the ins and outs. I did a seminar in Mexico 2 weeks ago, and they were asking me about all these different things, scenarios that are going on. And I said, you know, they're wrong because it's like the blind teaching the blind. And so education is highly needed.
You know, when I was doing the amateur thing, when I had kids in the ring, I had kids like from 10 and up, and I'm against that now, but this was like in the 90s. So when I thought about that, I was the Jerry Tarkanian of amateur boxing. I carried a towel in my mouth. I was biting on the towel. No, I'm serious. If I even saw something like even slap, boom, the towel was going in. I'm not taking a chance with some kid's life. And, of course, you know, referees are not the some of them are not the most astute guys in the world. Is that a nice way to put it?
Yeah, no, I understand 100%.
You know, you got to stop things. All right, before we get to your endeavors, we'll get to that about 40 minutes past hour because you need to spend some time with me here today. Of course, we're talking with Jacob Cituran, the famed cut man, originally from Northern California, from the Valley. Then he moved to Northern California. Then he moved to Las Vegas, and he totally abandoned us here in the Golden State. Of course, he lives in Las Vegas now. Him and his lovely wife have been there. How long have you been there now, Stitch? 35 years?
30 years, Pedro.
Yeah, I said 35. Yeah. 30. It's been a while because I sort of tried to tag that in with my Golden Glove era because you were here at that point in time.
Yeah.
But bottom line is, let's talk about the Muhammad Ali Boxing Revival Act, because there's a Muhammad Ali Boxing Reform Act. Of course, that was passed in 1996. Senator John McCain was the author of that bill. And, of course, the bill sort of lacked enforcement. I thought it lacked enforcement, but that was done at the hands of Senator Harry Reid, who was the Las Vegas senator, of course, was working on behalf of the Las Vegas boxing establishment and the Nevada boxing establishment. So he didn't want that law to have too much teeth. He didn't want these people going too deep. Of course, now Dana White wants to take away the entire Muhammad Ali Boxing Reform Act and call this the Muhammad Ali Boxing Revival Act. And revival means he wants to turn the world of boxing into the pimping world that he has in the UFC. And before you come back on that one, let me say this. Francis Ngannou made $500,000 for selling out Madison Square Garden. I think it was like an $8 million gate. So he made $8 million. He was a main event UFC heavyweight champion, the flag bearer of the entire UFC. He goes out there, he wins his fight. And then they offer him a $50,000 bonus afterwards. They said he got a cut of the pay-per-view. I've yet to see that. But the bottom line is he got $550,000, okay? And his fight probably generated about $35 or $40 million when you count all the money they made on pay-per-view and sales and T-shirts and all that kind of good stuff. And at the end of the day, he got a $50,000 bonus. Then he turned to boxing. Well, he went over to boxing. I think he fought Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua, and he pocketed $18 million. I mean, what does that tell you? If Dana's pimping off his top star, he's only get $500,000, what do you think he's going to do with the boxers?
The same thing, you know, and you know, that's the great thing with Francis Ngannou, that he said, you know what, I don't need it, I'm leaving. You know, so he went against what Dana White was proposing. But you know what, they want to come in, they don't want to change it, they want to do their own thing. But, you know, as I've been talking to people, and you were talking about the difference in payouts. The every major sport, football, baseball, basketball, when it comes to revenue exchanging, they work with their athletes from anywhere like 42%, 48%, whatever. They're in the 40s. The UFC is like a 5 or 6% revenue that they.
But this, I try to tell people that, and they look at me like I'm talking French. I mean, I'm saying, listen, they're only getting 5% of the cut, and they're and you know they don't get it. I mean, listen, that is a pimp move. I mean, let me tell you like this. let me tell you about pimps. I was a cop here in San Francisco, so I know a little bit about pimps. Okay, and if a girl was working here on the streets of San Francisco, and Dana White was her pimp, and Dana White said, "Guess what? Out of that $100 that you just charged that dude, I'm going to give you maybe 15 or 20 bucks. Okay, maybe that. Maybe she's going to be on the first bus to Cleveland."
Yep, that's the same. That's right. Everything's based on numbers. And you know, and another thing is, you know what? These guys, they get, I think, 20% of the merchandise they're sold. Nobody buys that stuff anymore. T-shirts were big with Bad Boy, with, you know, the Tap Out and all that. But those days of selling T-shirts and making money, non-existent for these guys.
Well, you know, and the fact that they couldn't, I mean, remember when guys were making a few bucks having a tattoo on their back, and it was a little, I mean, a temporary tattoo, and they made a few bucks. I thought that was sort of cool. I mean, I didn't want to do it myself. I wouldn't have wanted to do it myself. But here's what's up. If a guy could make a few bucks, I was all for it. If a guy could put Pedro's bail bonds on his trunks, okay, and make me some money from my bail bonds company, I mean, that would be great. That would be absolutely fantastic. But they took away that, and they made him like generic fighters, A and B. It's A and B. That's it.
Yeah. Me speaking out about that deal got me fired. But yeah. I became the face of the, I'm not gonna say the rebellion. And you know, it's funny because I was doing a Top Rank show during the bubble, mm-hmm. and this one Brazilian coach I hadn't seen in years since I left the UFC, and it'd been like 8 years. He comes up to me and he says, "Stitch," he goes, "we, the coaches, the fighters, we thank you for speaking up because we couldn't."
Yeah.
So that kind of lets you know the whole scenario of what's going on with them. The same thing's going to happen with boxing. And then, you know, and the thing with, now here's another thing, and not to be prejudicial or anything like that, but a lot of guys in MMA have college degrees. You know, a lot of them were highly ranked collegiate wrestlers and all. Boxing, on the other side, Pedro, is a majority of these guys have less than a high school diploma. You know, so how can you negotiate against a big corporation like Zuffa?
Good point. Of course, the Zuffa deal that I had with them was like in the 90s, around UFC 35, UFC 36, something like that. Bottom line is, I signed this deal with Dana, and Dana came to me about three months later. He goes, "I need to meet with you." And I'm saying to myself, sponsor wants to meet with you. Okay. So he meets with me, and he tells me, "I got to give you a pay cut." So I said to myself, okay, I'm willing to accept a small pay cut. This is maybe 25%, something like that, because he said you got some overhead problems. He wanted to cut me 70%. He wanted to cut 70% of the deal. You know what I told him? I told him, you know, we have a contract, and I expect you to live abide by it. And we did for the year, and then we were gone. Bottom line is, that's me and Dana White. When we come back after the break, Jacob Cicerone will be talking about his endeavors. Of course, I'm talking about the guy from Fresno originally. He's got movies and documentaries, things like that, on boxing and MMA. Of course, we'll talk with Stitch in detail after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Are you over the age of 50? Want peace of mind and financial security for your family? Here's an important message to you from Senior Care USA. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. That leaves your loved ones the burden of paying your debts and funeral costs. Our plans start as low as $1 per day and will pay your family up to $30,000 to help pay for your funeral and other expenses. There are no medical exams, your rates will never increase, and your plan cannot be canceled, regardless of your medical conditions, as long as you make your premium payments. Get up to $30,000 in final expense insurance. Call now for free information. Just answer a few simple questions and get approved right over the phone in just a few minutes. Call right now.
Call 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. That's 800-399-6879.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers, and we have the inside track. Call now and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Pedro offers you his protection.
Giving back. Some of us give back. I mean, whether it's to the community, whether it's the community at large, the community of boxing, the boxing world. Bottom line is, my current guest has given a lot back. I'm talking about Jacob Stitch-Duran. Now, Jake, you had that first documentary come out a few years ago, and that was pretty successful. And now you tell me you're working on another one. Another one's coming out. Talk to me. What's up with that? Give me an update.
Yeah, well, thank God. You know, they that's the one, actually, the one I told you about then, but they just finished the one called From the Fields to the Garden, and me growing up as a farm worker were the fields, and my goal was to make it to Madison Square Garden. So they finished about 3 weeks ago, Pedro. And so, you know, I've been blessed. Now they're sending it into film festivals and all that. So,
wait, are you trying to tell me you'll be at Cannes?
Well, they got Sundance. You know, we actually, we got offered a full sponsorship to go to Cannes this last one with the film, but it wasn't done yet. Right. Okay. I mean, the guy is offering to fly us out there and just everything. Okay. But I think Sundance is in January the 25th or 28th or something like that.
Where's Sundance going to be?
We'll be doing that. In Utah. It's in Utah. That's Robert Redford started Sundance as a nonprofit thing for, you know, actors and all that stuff. And it's become one of the top festivals.
Hey, so, let me go off subject for a little bit here. October 24th, I'm promoting Palomento Productions here in San Francisco at Club Rocco Poco. Malo and Sapo, the music legacy of Richard Bean. Richard Bean will be there, of course, the guy that the platinum recording artist with Suavecito, the man that wrote and sang Suavecito. So I got a big show coming out October 24th. What I'm trying to tell you is that if ever there was a time you want to come to the city, Stitch, you bring the wife.
Yeah, you know, I saw a story on when he wrote Suavecito and why he wrote it and all that. And there's, you know, truth to a lot of things. But that's a legendary song, man. If I'm available, you know, it's nice to go back to the Bay Area every once in a while and, as I say, water my roots.
You know, he never told the girl that he wrote Suavecito about, that it was about her. And neither did Emilio Castillo. You're still a young man. He wrote it in 1969, okay? And, of course, it came out in 1972 on the Bump City album. But the bottom line is, he never told, the girl died that the song was about. And I looked at him, I said, don't you think that's a little weird? I mean, I would have told her, wouldn't you? Eventually, at some point in time?
Yeah, 100%, man.
I made all this money because you broke my heart.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what it boils down to. All right, back to the movie. What's this new flick called? The new documentary. What's it called?
This was called, it was From the Fields to the Garden, and it's a 90-minute film. And God, I got everybody in there to see. Boxers. Well, number one, Michael B. Jordan gave me some great, great pieces. And you know, it was funny. So I got Michael B. Jordan as an actor, but I got, you know, Tyson Fury, Klitschko. They interviewed Vladimir Klitschko in Ukraine, and Sean Porter and Shane Mosley and Shane Mosley Jr. and Kane Velasquez, Scott Coker, there's a whole all-star cast.
Kane Velasquez, you went behind bars to do that or what?
No, we got him before that, which is great.
Just for a second here, I mean, being a former policeman in this net, if somebody had molested my kid or something like that, you know, I would get violent. I mean, I don't care. Yeah. I'd get violent. Okay, I understand that. But where Kane messed up, was Kane really mucked up, was that he shot at a car with other people in it. If he just shot at the car and the dude was in it, I'm down with that. You know, I mean, I just am. And I think that the DA would have seen that to an extent. You know, let's give him a short amount of time and we'll give him some psychological, you know, treatment and that kind of good stuff. But the fact that he shot into a car with other people, that sort of like showed he had no regard for public safety, for the safety of others. So he brought that spit on himself. When I say spit on this show, Jake, I mean spit with an H.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, you look at it as a parent. Also, and then so I understand, but yeah, it that was wrong, and I know he thinks it was wrong, but anyway, I got him in there, so yeah. And you know, Michael B. Jordan and them are their production people, the Creed people, are offering to present it to Amazon Prime. Okay. You know, I would prefer ESPN because it's boxing affiliated. Yeah. So, yeah. And then, you know, I have Boxer's Nightmare, the one that I did 25 years ago. I think I sent you
been
the video
that long?
Years ago. Yeah, it's been 25 years,
wait,
bro.
Wait,
so.
I was going to say to you, see, remember that film you did about 5 years ago? That's what I was about
to say.
Well,
you know what? You now here we go. Okay, you called it one of the best boxing documentaries you've ever seen.
Yeah, I remember.
So that. I never did nothing with it. And John, the young man that helped me out, he passed away about a year and a half ago, Pedro. Yeah. And I looked at this film, because during that time I presented it to HBO, to Showtime, and I knew nothing about film. Mm. But as I looked at this film, I almost cried because everybody I have in here that I interviewed are all Hall of Famers now. Some are dead.
Yeah.
And I got Mike Tyson before he got his tattoo. Fernando Vargas, that's with his sons now. Eddie Mustafa Muhammad. I got Mills Lane. You talk about Emmanuel Stewart. I got him. Chuck Bodak. I got Richard Steele, Joe Cortez, you know, Mills Lane. Who gets that? Doc Brodus, yeah. Joe Louis's daughter.
Listen, I went to my 50th high school reunion yesterday, and I left there with a couple of little wetness in the eyes because I realized I would never see these people again. They don't live in the area and things like that, a couple of people anyway. And the bottom line is, you know, when I realized that we've been involved in this sport now for half a century, you and I,
yeah.
Half a century.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah. It's more than that shit. I've been here, you know.
Hey, easy on the words. Easy on the words, Stitch.
Hey, so listen real quick, Pedro. So I looked at this film, and everything that's going on right now, nothing has ever changed. And now that, you know, Dana and Turk are trying to change this, what I want to do is I want to get current interviews with MMA fighters, because you mentioned some of the guys that you know are showing dementia. That's happening in MMA. And I just kind of reinforce it, but it lets people know that I've been fighting for fighters and farm workers all my life.
No, but
that film right there brought it out.
Stitch, when I try to tell people that you're hitting a concussed fighter and they don't get it, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I know if you've got a concussion and somebody's hitting you on top of that concussion, on top of concussion, that brings about that promotes CTE.
Yeah, and it's happening in MMA. And, you know, because I've been gone and I've seen fighters I haven't seen in years, and their whole performance on speech pattern has changed.
Yep, yeah, and we don't need to go into names, but we can go down a whole long list because, you know, when you look at the fact that the UFC, with the exception of maybe Daniel Cormier, the UFC doesn't use too many former athletes as far as guys behind the mics, do they? They don't bring out... I know Randy Couture is on the spit list, spit with an H, but I mean,
right.
I mean, there were some stars back then, and now they're like mumbling. And people say to here's what I'm seeing it more in MMA and football. I see it more in MMA and football. Maybe I'm a little biased because I was a boxer, but I see it more in MMA and football. I don't know if I told you this, but I interviewed Mark Gastineau back in 1992, and I was talking to him for like 35 or 40 seconds on TV, live on pay-per-view, and he couldn't hear me. So I had to step on his foot to get his attention.
Wow.
And that's when I realized that something wasn't right, okay? I mean, as far as football players are concerned. So I started looking at things, and then Ronnie Lott told me, he goes, you know, some guys just aren't the same after getting hit and after hitting people. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, I hope to be lucky. And I didn't know what he meant because we were in the Redwood City 49ers training camp when I was working for the Talk America Radio Network back then. I had no idea what he meant, but now I do.
Yeah, hey, man, anytime you're making contact to the head on accumulation of punches or bangs and all that, it's going to affect your brain. And that's what's happening right now. And then not only that, but a lot of these guys, their bodies are ripped apart. You know, they've had surgery after surgery and all that. It's a hurt business, man.
So speaking of surgery, we'll go really off subject here. Hulk Hogan, Terry Bollea, they gave him two shots of Narcan on the way to the hospital in the ambulance. Narcan is for opiate overdoses, and that's been established. So I think what happened to good old Hulk Hogan was he was kicking back in his lounging chair, and he took too many pain pills, and his heart stopped.
Wow.
That's sad.
Thank God. I'm okay. I don't do anything.
Knock on wood. Here's what's up. We're not rich. We're not filthy rich, but we're filthy rich in health.
Right. No, I thank God every day, Pedro. I'm 73 years old, and I feel great, you know. And people say, when are you going to retire? I said, from what? Everything I do is it's an honor. It's a pleasure. It keeps me young.
Yeah, but here's what's up. I figure if you don't do something, you get, how can I put this? You get really old really fast. I mean, my friends that don't do anything, that don't interact with people, that don't have talk shows, this and that, they can't rap too much. You know what I'm saying? They're sort of like, blah, 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 blah. And they get old and they get slow. And, You don't, you know, I'm not slowing down, man. I'm not. I refuse. I mean, people said to me the other day, you know, you look so sad. I was at the reunion yesterday. How do you stay so slim? And I eat like a meal and a half a day. I don't overdo it on the food, and I don't drink. I think that's one of the most important things is I don't drink alcohol. You drink, Stitch?
No, I haven't drank in a long time.
Smoke weed?
Weed every day.
You and me both. I got to send you some. That's a story for another day. Now, this, when will the public ever be able to see this flick as far as a mass scale is concerned? Your new movie?
You know, that's I've got to talk to the producers on that. Yeah, I mean, you know, once a network buys it. But you know what I did, Pedro, with all the stuff that's happening with immigration and everything? You know, I grew up as a farm worker, right,
yeah,
in the Central Valley of California, and born and raised in a migrant camp and all that. So what's happening with all this stuff, I convinced the producers, before it was done, to let me go back to Merced Planada, and I invited everyone that we grew up with in the migrant camp and from my little town that we grew up as farm workers.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about 50-year reunion. Some guys I haven't seen in 50, 55 years. So anyway, we stayed at the Merced El Capitan Hotel, which was just refurnished. We had mariachi there. So we all met. There's like 150 of us. And we all met there. And then what we did is the Merced Theater was a seven-minute walk on Main Street in Merced. So we had mariachis, and we followed them as in tribute to Cesar Chavez, the walk mm-hmm. from Delano to Sacramento. So we all walked together to the theater and watched the film.
My journalism background, actually, I was sort of like born into journalism with a newspaper called El Macriado. And El Macriado was the voice of the United Farm Workers. Miss Huerta was putting this paper out in San Francisco, and I was delivering it. I mean, I would go to people's houses. I had an aunt of mine that was involved with the UFW, and then we would go to people's houses. She would say, put one in her mailbox, we dropped one in another house, put it in a mailbox. So we're distributing El Macrial. That was sort of my first foray into the world of journalism. And that's when I realized that you had to write wherever it was. You couldn't be scared and be a writer. You know what I'm saying? So I learned that from the farmers.
Right, right.
And then, of course, I went and took on the world of boxing. That was another world, another story. But the bottom line is, so you don't know when this film is going to be distributed. You haven't shown, I mean, I've seen the trailer and this kind of stuff, and I think that's promising. But at the end of the day, let's go back to the Boxing Revival Act. This is a corporate takeover, isn't it? Basically, they're trying to make boxing employees corporate employees again, I mean?
Well, you know what's really bad is they're bringing in money. It's like the big rich kid coming into the low income area and trying to change the world, right? And but that's what's happening right now. But you know what, Pedro? There's little groups that are kind of formulating themselves and getting together. Eventually, boxing is going to rebel against this because it's something that only benefits them. And there's no benefit for the fighters in the long term. Pension plan, all that stuff.
You know, the California State Athletic Commission was supposed to rubber stamp that Dana White bill a few weeks ago, and Robert Garcia and all these people stormed the commission, a meeting, and they put it on hold for 3 months. Do you think eventually they're going to pass it, or do you think that California is going to be the exception to the rule, maybe?
Oh, no, they'll pass it. I guarantee you. And I'll tell you why, because my daughter Carla's a big voice. She was one of the ones that were instrumental in getting fighters to join the lawsuit against the UFC, which the UFC settled under, you know, without going to court, $375 million. And she was instrumental. So she went to the ABC convention, Pedro, I think about 6 or 7 weeks ago, and she was speaking on behalf of the Muhammad Ali Reform Act bill. Mike Musuli, that is the chairman, cut her off. And then there was another gentleman, Haskell, he's Native American from Oklahoma that had a casino. He's speaking and he's saying, instead of you guys making a decision for all of us, why don't we all vote for this program? They cut him off too. And so, you know, there's a strong possibility that Mike Musuli will be working with Dana and them.
Well,
that
being said, I want to puke, but I can't. I've got another hour to go. Bottom line is, hug the wife. We'll talk real soon. If you want to come to San Francisco on the 24th, I got comp tickets for you and the wife.
My man, appreciate you, Pedro. Always.
Hey, and I don't give away. Bailey, my producer in the other room, is looking at me because I don't give away comps. So he just looked at me like, what? You give away comps? Yeah, I don't give away comps. I just don't. I mean, that's the way you promote. I never gave away comps when I was promoting boxing.
Oh, hell, I might be just making a point to fly up there, man.
Much respect. We'll talk soon. Hug the wife, my brother.
All right. Adios. Bye.
The incredibly wonderful and benevolent Jacob Stitch Duran. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The impeccable ones in the other room.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816. Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News & World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as a dollar a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-918-6189. 800-918-6189. 800-918-6189. That's 800-918-6189.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You're irritating me now.
This is irritating to me. Talking about Dana White at all. Last night, Dana White threw a gig at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Drew 19,081 people. It was an $8.8 million live gate. Of course, in the main event, Alex Pereira TKO Magomed Ankalaev. And, of course, there was a rematch for the light heavyweight championship. Alex Pereira was the guy that was fighting the middleweight that walked into the octagon like 25 or 30 pounds heavier than every opponent. I kid you not. He was weighing in like 185 pounds and coming to the ring like 220 pounds, 230 pounds. I kid you not. He was a weight bully. No doubt about that. But tonight, last night, he got revenge. And, of course, in the co-feature, Merab Dvalishvili, the current bantamweight champion, 135-pound champion, beat the former pretty good guy, Cormier. I don't know if he held the title on, but Cody was up there. Cody Sandhagen was up there. Unanimous knot across the board. It was four rounds of one as far as a five-round fight. Five-minute rounds in championship fights and main events in the UFC. Now, I want to commend Dana White for drawing 19,000 people, of course, and doing well on pay-per-view, but he's still a creep. I mean, he just is. And I keep telling you, if he was a pimp here in San Francisco, if he had hookers and not fighters, I mean, imagine a hooker going out and doing something crazy, you know, some sexual act for $100. And then Dana White say, okay, baby, I'll give you $5 or $10. They're not going to do it. They wouldn't even do it for $20. You know what I'm saying? But fighters in the UFC are getting five cents on the dollar. For the most part, 5 cents on the dollar. And you guys say to me, oh, the UFC is good. The UFC is good for guys. The UFC ain't good for nobody but the corporate world and Dana White. Straight up, this is hour number one of two on Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio. Listen, like there's 18 different platforms. If I went down the list of platforms, it'd take me like an hour. But the bottom line is, hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide will feature the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merch. We'll talk about the thrill in Manila. That and more coming up right after the news right here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I implore you. No, I'm telling you, stick around after the news. It'll be hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline.
I'm Artie Terrell on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. It's presented by Herb Chambers Honda of New England. Great savings all weekend long. This weekend at Herb Chambers Honda of New England, with locations in Seekonk, Westboro, Burlington, and Boston, Massachusetts. Well, a busy college football Saturday. Some key games. Notre Dame, Boise State, obviously on the radar screen. Alabama and Vanderbilt in a key SEC matchup, where the Commodores picked off the Crimson Tide a year ago. But it's baseball that is center stage as the divisional series now get underway. Afternoon games, you've got Milwaukee hosting Chicago. It'll be the Yankees and Jays in Toronto. But tonight, it'll be Shohei Ohtani going to the mound for the Dodgers against Christopher Sanchez of the Philadelphia Phillies in game one of that series. And then the curtain will fall on the playoffs Saturday tonight, with Detroit opening their series in Seattle against the Mariners. WNBA game one goes to the Las Vegas Aces, one up on the Phoenix Mercury in the women's WNBA championship series. Sports Shorts presented by Herb Chambers Honda New England, Westboro, Seekonk, Burlington, and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Artie Terrell on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted, something premium, something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together, and we will start today.
Celebrate responsibly.
Soccer season rolls on here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. This is Tyler Levine, host of First Touch, the premier weekly global soccer show across the entire Sports Byline broadcast, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Simple Radio, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. We're talking English Premier League, Champions League, our picks of the week, and a whole lot more. First Touch on Sports Byline USA Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern. See you there.
Sports in 60. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Honda in the Herb Chambers Honda dealerships in Seekonk, Westboro, Burlington, and Boston, Massachusetts. It's NFL Week 5, and we are 2-2 against the spread in our selections after a rocking chair win with the Chiefs. This week, let's travel to Los Angeles, where the Chargers host the Commanders. The expectation is Jaden Daniels will be under center for Washington, but I'd be just as content with Marcus Mariota. Some of the value has been pounded out of the line with the anticipated quarterback change, but that's okay. Whether it be Marty Schottenheimer in his day or Jim Harbaugh now, these are the games the Bolts always seem to overlook. In their last 15 tries against non-division home favorites of 5 points or less, the Chargers have only covered two. The last team to win in Los Angeles in this situation was Tampa Bay last December in a 40-17 rout, and we had the Bucks in that game on these airwaves. Give me the Commanders plus +3. Sports in 60, presented by Honda and the Herb Chambers Honda dealerships in Seekonk, Westboro, Burlington, and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Every champion has a team behind them, and for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Let me tell you why. I was the original podcast. I've been doing this, guess what? 41 years, knocking out all bums for better than four decades. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, was nationally ranked, and I'm an award-winning boxing journalist, so I know a little bit about boxing. But straight up, I'm not the average boxing fan. Who is the average boxing fan? I ask you that. Are you the average boxing fan? 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-757. It's a bit of a lull in the boxing world, of course, coming off the Terrence Crawford win a fortnight ago over Canelo Alvarez, or Canelo Alvarez. Bottom line is Canelo, the Mexican icon, the guy that was, oh, everybody tune in to watch him, right? Tune in to watch what? I mean, for 3.5 years, he's been going through the motions. I mean, you know, sort of like, I don't want to go there. But the bottom line is, he's been going through the motions. He really has. I mean, the fights with Gennady Golovkin, of course, Gennady, the last fight with him, he was like 95 years old. And the cab driver, of course, Jaime Munguia from Tijuana, fought like 42 cab drivers. And he drives a cab himself, so he wasn't much of a guy, of course. And Edgar Berlanga, he didn't come to fight. He came in. He, guess what? Edgar Berlanga weighed in 168 pounds and weighed 192 pounds in the ring. And he couldn't impose his physical will on Canelo Alvarez. You know why? He didn't have the intestinal fortitude. With Berlanga, big time talker, little time. It was this way. When it comes to intestinal fortitude and stones, you know, stones are, you know, little balls, he's got the stones of a hamster, maybe a pigeon. Straight up, that's just the way it is. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-759. So what does Crawford do next? I mean, does he step up as far as, you know, he's 168 pounds. Does he step up and stay at 168? Of course, the guy that fought at 135, 140, 147, and 154. Of course, he skipped, I think, 160. And he landed with Canelo at 168 pounds. Of course, wins the decision going across the board. But guess what? There were two judges that had that fight 7-5 in rounds. In other words, had Crawford not won the 12th round, it would have been a draw. What kind of crap is that? That smeaks of a fix to me. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 1-800-878-PLAY. The impeccable one is in the house. The impeccable one, of course, is the great Bailey Peck. Take it away, Bailey.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816. It's time for you to come to Branson, Missouri for the trip of a lifetime. Located right in the middle of the country, you can drive or fly there. We put together a deal of a lifetime for you to experience Branson. Right now, you can get a 3-day, 2-night package for only $79 total. We're even including 4 free Branson show tickets. Call the special Branson hotline number right now to learn more. 800-497-7198. 800-497-7198. If you've never been to Branson, Missouri, come visit and see what we have to offer. Beautiful lakes, casual and upscale restaurants, tons of shows and activities for everyone. And for $79 total, you can't beat it. So pick up your phone right now and call the Branson Travel Hotline. Claim your 3-day, 2-night package plus 4 free show tickets for only $79 total. Call now. 800-497-7198. That's 800-497-7198.
You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills. And hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-247-6135. 800-247-6135. That's 800-247-6135.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Joe's gonna come out smoking, and I ain't gonna be joking. I'll be pecking and a poking, pouring water on his smoking. Then this might shock and amaze you, but I will destroy Joe Frazier.
October 1st, 1975, roughly 50 years ago, of course, to Thrill in Manila. President Ferdinand Marcos thought that he would like turn the world on to the Philippines and bring boxing over there. Of course, Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier hooking up in the sold-out arena. It was shown around the world on closed-circuit television. I watched it in a movie theater on Market Street here in San Francisco. And Godfather Larry Merchant, I went back 3 or 4 times to watch it again in reruns.
When
the fight took place in 1975, Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali, the Thrill of Manila, I watched it live on the closed circuit screen, and then the very next day they had it for like $5 at the theater. So I went back and saw it like 3 or 4 times. I couldn't believe that fight. That was crazy.
Yeah, well, and the thing about it was such a huge buildup for that fight. Two unbeaten heavyweight champions of contrasting styles. And a meaningful, in a cultural way, because Ali was a great international figure, but not necessarily beloved.
by every American. So it was a tremendous drama in New York. I was there. And one of the things that came out of that fight, in my view, was that Joe Frazier, who spent a week in a hospital after that fight from the punches he absorbed, even though he won the fight, I don't think he was ever the same again. He was close, but never the same.
Don't you think that was the greatest display of mental toughness in the entire world of sports? I thought that was. I've never seen anybody that mentally tough in my entire life as Joe Frazier in that first fight.
Well, listen, I knew Joe Frazier from the time he came up from South Carolina to Philadelphia to advance his career. And I was a sports editor in Philadelphia. So I knew what Frazier was made of. But that fight cost him a lot to show us what he was made of. Then, of course, about a year later, I think it was, that Ali just boxed him in a rematch. And Frazier was not the Joe Frazier that we're talking about. And then, of course, there was the third fight in Manila.
October 1st, 1975. Godfather, were you in Manila, or did President Marcos, were you banned from that country too?
No, Pedro, I was not there. I sent one of my boxing writer to cover that. He was a wonderful boxing writer, Jack McKinney, and I stayed home and helped to edit the paper. But it was the fiercest fight I think
ever
anybody ever saw.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt.
Particularly between heavyweights.
You know, Ali told me when we were sitting down one day, he said, you know, I was trying to quit. I said, what do you mean you were trying to quit? What do you mean you're trying to quit? He goes, I was telling them to cut off the gloves. If you look at the films, they have the film on Joe. But if you look on my corner, I'm showing them the gloves. Take them off. Take off the gloves. He said it was the closest thing he ever came to death in his life. He thought he was going to die.
Yep. Well, of course, Ali was prone to highly dramatizing any event he was in.
Really?
And sure. And the third fight, it was just two once super great fighters battling again. And with a few seconds left in the 12th round, the fight was stopped by Joe's corner because of the tremendous beating he was taking.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Eddie Futch, of course, the godfather Eddie Futch of the trainers, and he told me that, I remember what he told Joe, son, you got nothing to be ashamed of, and he turned around and he stopped the fight. I thought that was really a classic move. But at the same time, on the other side of the ring, Ali was trying to get out. He said, I'm done, take these gloves off. Anyway, of course, Ali would go on. That was 1975. He would go on and fight another 3 years and then retire and come back 2 years later. Was there ever a point where you think he should have just walked away?
Well, look, I never blame a prize fighter for going too far. Part of it is the vanity, the fight in a great fighter that they want to go on. And also there's often a financial motive to keep going on. Yes, to their health, but boxing is not a sport that helps anybody with their health.
Good point. You know, and I'll close with this. About 1989 or 1990, I was doing television at the Forum, and I interviewed Jerry Quarry. And Jerry Quarry was, at one point in time, Jerry Quarry could knock out the New York Times crossword puzzle in a half hour. I thought that was incredible. Some magazine writer wrote about it. Some magazine writer stayed with him for a half hour while he did it, just to prove he could do it. So the bottom line is, at one point in time, he was sharp. And then about 1990, 91, we had drinks together. I wasn't drinking, but he was drinking. We were in the Forum Club, and we were talking boxing this and that. And then I started to see the residual effects. Then he came back in 1992, and like almost 50 years old, 40-something years old, and goes to Colorado, the only place they'd sanction him, and he almost got beat to death by some guy named Ron Cranmer. He was propelled by his father. Was his father a bad guy? I'll let you go with that one.
His father was a boxing guy. Boxing guys take what we would think of as the arc of a fighter's career a little loosely. When the career is coming down and the cash is coming in and the fighter himself may not know that he doesn't have it in himself anymore, then it becomes what it is. And of course, Jerry Quarry was the fighter that Ali fought when he came out of his retirement, yeah. If I recall correctly.
Yeah, 19 CL, that's right. He was the first opponent back.
I was there in Atlanta for that one. Yeah.
Well, here's what's up. The reason why I brought up the fact that I asked you whether you got thrown out of the Philippines, people are wondering, what are you talking about? Because you were barred from the country of Zaire, Africa by President Mobutu. You pissed him off, didn't you?
Well, I never know quite whom I pissed off, but he was, if he was among them, then I'm proud of that.
I thought that was a badge of honor. Just like when I blew the Operation Matchbox and with Top Rank and that good kind of good stuff, and they denied me a press credential, I took it as a badge of honor.
Oh, you know, I was there for the fight, Ali and Foreman,
mm-hmm.
And when Foreman was
hurt, cut,
injured in training,
yeah.
It was postponed for 6 weeks, so I went back home. And when I tried to go back, that's when I was told I was not welcome. I took it as a badge of honor.
Well, I would. I got to let you go with this one more question. Are there any other countries where you've been exiled?
I'm sorry to say no.
Godfather, have a wonderful...
I haven't even been thrown out of states, much less countries.
Much respect. I want to thank you for your time. We'll talk soon. Have a great week, Godfather.
You too, Pedro.
The retired HBO Godfather, God, I feel so blessed to know him. Of course, the retired HBO Godfather is none other than Mr. Larry Merchant. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Card Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Can I just
go for it?
One postscript. After that fight, I thought of something the great sports writer Red Smith once wrote. If you want to find out who won a close fight, ask a 9-year-old kid.
I think that was vintage Larry Merchant, like 2000, somewhere around there. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We've been partners for 41 years at the Hagler-Hearns fight, the post-fight press conference in the sports pavilion at Caesars Palace. Of course, that fight was held outdoors. And Larry Merchant walked in, this and that, and he walked right up to me. He goes, "Wasn't that amazing?" And I didn't know who he was. I was starstruck, you guys. I was absolutely starstruck. Like, this guy walked up to me. He goes, "I know who you are." I go, "You do? You do?" He goes, "Yeah, you write for the little newsletter." I said, "Yeah, Flash and Boxing Update." He goes, "Yeah, that's the trade paper." I said, "Yeah." So anyway, that began our relationship. And that was like 41 years ago. Of course, April 15, 1985, to be exact, tax day 1985, the Hagler-Hearns fight. Of course, considered the greatest three rounds in boxing history. Maybe, not quite three rounds. But bottom line, of course, it was a rumble, no doubt about that. But had Tommy Harris not hit Marvin Hagler on the top of that big bald head of his and broke his hand, I think things might have been a little bit different, because Marvin did get rattled a little bit. There's no doubt about that. Speaking of Marvin Hagler, I saw I told you I thought that Roberto Duran was the guy that basically showed that Marvin Hagler was beatable. I did. Of course, Marvin Hagler and Roberto Duran fought in November of 1983. This was after Duran, of course, earlier in the year beat Pepino Cuevas, a fourth-round KO, and then stopped Davey Moore for the WBA junior middleweight title in front of a sold-out Madison Square Garden. Of course, this fight, wow, with Hagler was just a mega event. Outdoors in Las Vegas, 15 rounds, and Duran's fighting. The guy that turned pro at 122 pounds. Basically, he was a little guy. He was a little guy fighting Marvin Hagler. Marvin Hagler turned pro at 160 pounds. He was always a bigger 150, 160-pound guy. Talk about marvelous Marvin Hagler, the then world middleweight champion of the world. Of course, and then Duran and him were going to fight. And like, I'm scared to death. I'm a Duran fan. My friend of mine is co-managing Duran, this and that. So I'm freaking out. You know what I'm saying? And we're all freaked out. I mean, we were all freaked out. You should have seen us. We were looked like we were being led to a death, to an execution of a friend or something like that. I kid you not. So anyway, we get to the fight and we get there. And you know, everybody, you know, good luck, Roberto, and this kind of stuff. Good luck, Roberto. Roberto's like, he ain't saying nothing. He got his little stone cold face on, this and that. He looks like he's in real good shape, no doubt about that. I mean, I looked at him physically. He was in good shape. I watched him train for this fight in Palm Springs. He trained hard. He trained really hard. So anyway, Duran's ready and Hagler's ready. And of course, they go 15 rounds. And after the first and second round, I say to myself, you know, Duran's still here. He's still standing up, and he's landing his right hand. Duran had a little sneaky right hand, and that's what Marvin told me. Of all the fighters that he fought, the only one that really impressed him was Roberto Duran. He said that Roberto Duran was the greatest fighter that he ever fought, and the fact that Duran kept connecting with that sneaky right hand, he goes, "I knew it was coming, but I couldn't get it out of the way." And, of course, that made the fight somewhat close on the scorecards. After 12 rounds, Roberto Duran, I think, was at or near a draw at that point in time after the 15 rounds. Of course, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th round, Durant just wore down because of his natural size. I mean, he's a smaller guy. Size matters for the most part in two things, pornography and combat sports. And this, without a doubt, was combat sports. But Marvin Hagler, of course, died a few years ago, bit of a heart attack. People thought it was COVID. But, you know, I met him in Vegas, of course, when he was training for the fights. I think it was the Juan Roldan fight, something like that, of course, before the Duran fight. And I met him in Vegas when he was at Johnny Taco's gym. He used to train at Johnny Taco's gym, or Toco, whatever you want to call it. But the bottom line is Toco, T-O-C-C-O. He said that so many people called him Taco, he just basically called himself Johnny Taco, even though his name was Johnny Toco. Anyway, Johnny Toco ran the ringside gym down on Main Street, actually the Main Street gym in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's still there, but it's, you know, it's still Johnny's pictures in front of the place and all these pictures on the back. But the bottom line is I don't think they do much boxing in there. Anyway, I watched Hagler train for this Roldan fight. I watched him train for Leonard. I watched him train for Hearns. I watched him train for Duran. Okay, I watched Marvin train. So they allowed me in the inner sanctum. And this was the last few days before the fight. Not that he was giving up big-time secrets, this and that. But it was, he was allowing people in this inner sanctum. Because when I counted people in the room, it was only four. It was four guys. I mean, besides the boxers and the people that were involved, there was only four people that were in this room watching Marvin Hagler train each and every time. And it was me and a few other guys who were within his camp. So at the end of the day, Marvin and I had a decent relationship. And when I would see him on the road, you know, we talk like in Malaga, Spain. We're in Malaga, Spain together. We're in Italy together. I think we're in Buenos Aires, Argentina together. I remember in Buenos Aires, Argentina, when referee Jay Nady of Las Vegas, of course, he was the referee that Zab Judah tried to throw the stool at. But referee Jay Nady, somebody snatched a purse. Buenos Aires, Argentina. Somebody snatched a purse. We were at the WBC convention and we're standing in line waiting for cabs or something like that. And some guy came by and grabbed the purse. And Jay Nady, who was 6'5" or 6'6" and like 250 solid pounds, Jay Nady took off after the dude, chased him down three blocks and beat his ass and brought him back. I kid you not. Wow, that was sort of cool. No doubt about that. Jay Nady, of course, was the guy that sort of got ruined by the ride-sharing people, because the bottom line is he owned all these Las Vegas cabs. What are cabs worth in Las Vegas now? Speaking of Las Vegas, I was headed there a couple of weeks ago until I realized there's no Las Vegas to go back to. There just isn't. I mean, having worked down there and commuted down there and lived down there and this and that, the Vegas I knew is gone. I mean, I'll tell you, resort fees. I mean, we used to be able, not that I had to pay for hotels because I worked for the Imperial Palace Hotel. I had my own suite with a nice hot tub and the whole nine. I had not 24/7 room service, all nine yards. Anyway, you talk about being treated like a king. Yeah, that's what the reputation. Take it back. The slogan of the Imperial Palace Hotel was, you stay here and get treated like a king, but you don't have to pay a king's ransom to do so. Of course, I love the Imperial Palace Hotel. And of course, when their owner was it Ralph Engelstad, I think that was his name, when he got sick and everything changed. Of course, he was like the last major casino owner that was an independent guy on the Las Vegas Strip. And he was cool to me. I remember when he hired me, he brought me into his office and he says to me, "Hey, Fernandez, your name Fernandez?" And I'm going, "Yeah." And he goes, I'm thinking, "Yes, sir." Yeah, I'm trying to, yes, sir. But I'm a little intimidated. This guy owns a casino worth $1 billion, a whole nine yards. And he's interviewing me personally. So he goes, "Well, you know, do you gamble?" And I really didn't know what to say because I really don't gamble. So I go, "No." He goes, "Good. Because I just write out the checks for you and I need you to sign them and give them back to me. Because you ain't going to win here, kid." I said, "What?" I said, "Sir, pardon me, sir?" He goes, "You're not going to win here." He goes, "This is the rule. I'm going to tell you the rule. And if I see you violating the rule, I'm going to fire you." And I went, "Whoa. I mean, this dude's hiring me to do radio and TV. And he's telling me how to live my life and gamble and this kind of stuff." No, but he knew what he was talking about. He said, "You play $25 or $40. Make it a $40 max." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You put $20 down in the hand." He goes, "If you lose," he goes, "you play the other 20. He goes, "If you lose both, you walk away. If you win, you keep going. If you get around $300 or $400, you walk away at that point in time. Because at that point in time, the shoe's going to work against you and you're going to lose." This is a casino owner telling me how to gamble when I was in Las Vegas. First, I was green as guacamole. I couldn't believe it, this and that. But, you know, this was a Las Vegas that was different. I mean, buffets were like $7.95. I mean, I would eat steak and eggs at the Stardust Hotel and we would go down there in a cab. Cabs are cool, before ride sharing. And we go down in the cab, we get like $3.99 steak and eggs, or I mean, kid you not, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning after partying this and that, or any time, 24 hours a day, you can get a prime rib in Las Vegas for like $7. All that stuff is gone. Corporate America took over. resort fees. What are resort fees? It's something they add on to your bill after you've been there. You don't know it's going to go down until you've been there. How did I know? They shocked me one time. One time they hit me with resort fees and pool fees. Pool fees. Guess what? It was winter time. The pool was closed. And they charged me for it. And then I went down and I bought some water one time at the MGM Grand at this stand. This lady was standing next to the escalators or whatever it was. And she had water and snacks and matches and lighters and cigarettes, that kind of good stuff. So anyway, I got some water from her. So I got some water from her at 11:15 in the morning the first time. And it was $4 and even. Then I went back at 7:30 at night or 8 o'clock at night, I think I was walking back to my room. So I said, let me get some more water. So I got some water, and it was like $4.65. So it went up 65 cents in a few hours. And I said to the lady, I said, what kind of spit is this? And when I said spit on the show, I mean spit with an H. Really then, no doubt about that, all right? What the hell is going on? She said, oh, sir, that's surge pricing. I said, what do you mean surge? What are you talking about surge price? She goes, well, the price has surged. I said, surge what? I said, no, this is not, is this legal? Can you do this? She goes, I think so. They're doing it. I mean, she wasn't defending it. So anyway, I put my water, a bottle of water down, storm glass, put my water, bottle of water down and stormed across the street to like Walgreens or CVS, bought on my cell phone was a case for like $6 or $7. What I'm trying to tell you is that the prime rib that I used to get for, I think it was like $3.99 at the Stardust is now $40. You can't, if you can get it for $40, okay? The buffets, they're not happening anymore. They wiped out everything that was cool in Las Vegas. Everything that was, listen, the mafia, I'll tell you, I was there when the mafia ran the place. There's no doubt about it. They treated me good, even when I won. I mean, I won one night. I was fighting in Las Vegas, I think, and I was training there at Johnny Taco's gym, and I was staying at the Westward Ho, some hotel casino that my girlfriend couldn't believe. I told her, I'm staying at the Westward Ho, and she said, what ho are you staying with? And I went, oh, man, I was trying to explain it to her. So anyway, I am sober. I'm not drinking, not smoking weed, not doing a good thing. I'm working on this fight, training for this fight, but I can't sleep so well. So I'm going down and playing blackjack next door at Slots of Fun or something like that. I'm staying at the Westward Ho, and I'm going next door and playing at Slots of Fun, something like that. Anyway, so I won like $300 or $400, and then I won another $400, and it turned out to be I won $3,000. I won $3,000 when this is straight sober. So anyway, here's what happened. A lady sat down next to me, and she hit on a 20. And I said to myself, what's going on here? Then she hit on an 18. So then I realized that she was a plant. They put her next to me in order for me to lose because they knew I was on such a hot roll. But the bottom line is that was the hottest night of my life. I walked away with $4,000. Of course, I would lose the fight to Ernie Chavez, the welterweight, when I stepped up away. Thought I was cocky, thought I was bold, being a 139-pound champion. I said, I can move up in weight. Duran moved up in weight. I'm a great fighter, too. I can move up in weight, right? I moved up in weight, got spanked. When I went down to the National Golden Gloves, of course, I beat up those guys in the valley down there in Stockton and Modesto and Turlock. Take that back. They disqualified me in Turlock. But outside of that, I was lumping guys up there in the valley, and that's sort of, I've padded my record in the valley. I'm willing to admit it, okay? So I got admitted to this National Golden Glove Tournament in Las Vegas. I got in as a welterweight, which was like 10 pounds bigger than what I really was. At the end of the day, I got spanked because size matters in two things: pornography and combat sports. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solution Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. That's 800-659-7997.
Are you over the age of 50? Want peace of mind and financial security for your family? Here's an important message to you from Senior Care USA. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. That leaves your loved ones the burden of paying your debts and funeral costs. Our plans start as low as $1 per day and will pay your family up to $30,000 to help pay for your funeral and other expenses. There are no medical exams, your rates will never increase, and your plan cannot be canceled, regardless of your medical conditions, as long as you make your premium payments. Get up to $30,000 in final expense insurance. Call now for free information. Just answer a few simple questions and get approved right over the phone in just a few minutes. Call right now.
Call 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. That's 800-399-6879.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers, and we have the inside track. Call now, and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hardest hustle anything is boxing, though. I don't know what you do for a living, but pretty sure ain't nobody punching you all in your eye. I watched one fight. Roy Jones got hit so hard, my TV moved. He was asleep like he got knocked out of the club. The ref was like 241, 242. Roy was snoring. He was really knocked out. He was laying there so long, they had to start another fight. Roy was still there. Fighters had to dance around Roy.
Earthquake on the old series HBO Champion. Oh, man, that was something. Comedy on HBO, wasn't it? I mean, it was different. HBO, of course, I don't think it exists anymore because I don't watch it. I mean, it used to be one channel. We got boxing. We got everything on HBO. Everything. You didn't need anything else. Now there's like a 90 million HBO channels and 1,000 other channels, this and that. And I watch very little television. I have YouTube Premium. I watch a lot of YouTube Premium. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Our Haas historian has returned after a two-week vacation. Evidently, he was in Hawaii. Flew over there on one of his private jets. I'm talking about Frank 1961. Of course, October 3rd, 1980, with Ray Boom Boom Mancini would lose to Alexis Arguello in a 14th round TKO at Bally's in Atlantic City. Of course, it was a fight for the WBC lightweight title that had been a dream of Mancini's father, of course, Lenny Mancini. But the Mancini story isn't just his father and his son. It's his father, his brother, and his son, because Lenny Mancini Jr., who was actually also a boxer, he died early in life. I think it was violently. But the bottom line is, he died, and he was the better of the brothers. He was a far better of the brothers. I mean, Ray Mancini was a decent fighter. Ray Mancini was always in the best shape, 15-round fights, no doubt about that. He came, he gave it, no doubt about that. Of course, I remember his fight with Dooku Kim, where he killed Dooku Kim in 1982. Of course, I was to fight four or five weeks later, and they had like a 10 count for Dooku Kim at the before the fight started. I'm saying to myself, man, they're talking about a dead guy. I'm about to fight this and that. Of course, that was the night I knocked out Anthony Myers. And you know where Anthony Myers woke up, didn't you, impeccable one? He woke up at the Alameda Hospital. That was like 15 minutes later. More power to him. And guess what? It wasn't that much of a knockout. It turned out he had a glass jaw. I mean, I guess it wasn't my. I copped him clean. I mean, he was down. He was out. He didn't move. They didn't bother counting the whole nine yards. And remember, they were sticking needles in his feet. They were sticking needles in his feet trying to get some reaction to him. They couldn't get any reaction. I said to myself, a dead man. But like my mother said, better him than you. Oh, I mean, listen, I mean, I hate to put it to you like that, man, but that's how violent the game was. It was a violent game, and that's the way it boiled down. I remember my mother would say to my mother would meet other mothers. You know, I'd be fighting other mothers or other wives or this and that. And she would meet them. And mom would, like, seek them out before fights and this and that. And mom, since I won most of the time, you were able to do that. You know what I'm saying? But if I was losing all the time, you'd be doing not so cool. Anyway, bottom line is mom used to go to them and talk to them and this and that. And I remember one little lady up in Reno, she had a bottle, she had a glass of wine with the lady. What are you drinking with that lady for? She's drinking with this lady before a fight. Like, they're both wishing their sons both love, good luck with a bottle of wine. Anyway, Alexis Arguello and Ray Boom Boom Mancini back in 1980. Of course, I televised Mancini's last fight against Greg Hogan. What was that, 92? 90 somewhere. Let me look at that. I think it was 1992. But the bottom line is that was a hell of a fight for Greg Hogan. Why do I say that? Because Greg, of course, wanted to reestablish himself. He was a bit of an outsider in the world of boxing. He was one of those guys. He was like me. He had a big mouth. Okay, and he told her like it was, and when you have a big mouth, you pay a price. There's no doubt about it. You know, I was at my high school reunion yesterday, and people were talking to me, yeah, you're the writer. You're the writer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was the writer that wrote, check this out. My high school principal, Thomas Gaffney, was arrested twice for drunk driving in a 6-month span. Okay, and guess who found out? I did. And guess who? I did. And then what the cop told me was, he stumbled about it. So he told me, some South City cop told me. So anyway, I went to my teacher and I said to him, listen, we got this. And he goes, well, unless you've got something documented on it, then, you know, I'm not going to go with it. So I went and got a copy of one of the police reports. So I got a copy of one of the police reports and I brought it to my teacher. He said, okay, but, you know, in order to do this, you've got to go and talk to him. I said, wait a second. He's the principal of the school. You want me to go interview the principal of the school and tell him that we're going to write a story about him being basically charged and convicted twice of drunk driving in 6 months? He shouldn't even be driving the car. Turns out he was driving a car against court orders. And they had to, like, drive him to work for a while. Like, yeah, Thomas Gaffney, guy with the red face, that kind of stuff. So anyway, I remember going after the principal, chasing him after school. I had to wait for him, right? So he came after, like, school got out at 2:25, and he didn't come out of his office till like 4:15, 4:30. So I'm sitting there, wait, imagine this, the anxiety waiting for your principal. You're gonna basically serve him with court papers telling him he's a hoe. I mean, that's what you're doing. You're going to, like, ruin this guy's life. But he had it coming. So anyway, I chase him across the parking lot. I go, Mr. Gaffney, you want to talk about those 2 DUI convictions? And he ran away from me. So he gets in his car and he runs away, this and that. And of course, I was told by my journalism teacher just before I published the story, now, you know there's going to be retaliation against this. He goes, why? He goes, this guy's loved by a lot of teachers here. He goes, you know, some of your teachers might screw you over on this one. I said, man, what can they do? I mean, I'm not a dummy. I'm passing classes. I ain't not going to fuck any classes, right? Guess what? The very next day, Mr. Cohen, I think his first name was Sam, Mr. Cohen threw me out of science class. He threw it for nothing. I mean, I sat down in the seat. I hadn't even done anything yet. He goes, Fernandez, you got to leave. I don't want you in my classroom. I said, what? Yeah, I don't want you in my classroom. I said, but what are you talking about? I don't want you. Why don't you want me? I don't have to say it. I don't want you in my classroom. But I don't like the way you write. Oh, right then and there, it was something I wrote in the newspaper, okay? So, you know, they took me down to the counseling office. I went to the counseling office, and I ended up pulling off a scam. Let me tell you, not a scam, but I pulled off something that pissed those guys off like you wouldn't believe. So anyway, here's what's up. The science class is going to be another, 18 weeks or something like that, half a semester, you know, like January to June, something like that, right? So he kicks me out a couple of weeks in, so I've got to get to science class in order to graduate. So he realizes by throwing me out of the science class, I'm not going to be able to graduate. So that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to screw me over in the max, right? So anyway, my counselor and my typing teacher, my journalism teacher, Mr. Pellegrino, they got me a correspondence course. So I got to do the entire semester through a correspondence course, and I did it in 10 days. So I knocked this out in 10 days. So you know what I did, folks, to be a real turd, this and that? I went in front of Mr. Cohen's room when I had this free period. I had a free period, and I would do jumping jacks. Okay, I'd do jumping jacks. In other words, basically, F you, pal. But the bottom line is, I paid a price for that. Of course, and then there was, I'll leave you with this, we're talking high school journalism. There was a crazy janitor in school. We called him FBI because he would go into the girls' bathrooms when he smelled cigarette smoke, and he would go into the girls' bathrooms. You don't go into the girls' bathrooms. Well, so I wrote about this. I wrote that he was going to girls' bathrooms and going to men's bathrooms the whole 9 yards, and it was documented. I mean, you know, it was no doubt about that. I documented everything. So anyway, they fired him. He got fired, like, real quick. Bottom line is, and then I went after the coach. I'm talking about the coach, the football coach, Ray DeYoung. And the reason why I'm bringing up Ray DeYoung is I saw a couple of guys yesterday that played football in high school, and I asked them if there are any permanent injuries from high school football. And one guy told me he was the biggest dude in the school. He was like 6'3", 220 pounds. Let's say his name was Bob. Okay. Anyway, he told me that he had equilibrium problems soon after high school football. So what I'm trying to tell you is there's a price that you pay. And Ray DeYoung, the coach that he was, I told you he was a he threw a basketball one time, hit me in the face. I didn't know it was coming. I'm serious. Boom! Yeah, so I never forgot that. I put him on my hit list, okay? So anyway, I'm ready to retire him. I'm ready to get him out, and I've got a story written on him, and he's done. He's absolutely done. He's sending guys that have been concussed. One guy was knocked out cold. You know, like sleeping, like snoring, like Earthquake was talking about a little bit earlier, Roy Jones snoring, this thing. One guy was snoring, and you put him back in the game after you woke him up with some smelling salts. So I documented this, okay? And even back then, that wasn't cool. I mean, everybody knew that. Once the guy was out cold, I got a picture of him laying motionless on the field. And then a few minutes later, 8 or 10 minutes later, he's back in the game. That's the kind of coach my high school football coach was, Ray DeYoung. So anyway, I wrote this hit piece on them, and the administration came to me, and they said to me, you know, if you just hold off on this, he's going to retire. So you just retire. He's going to retire. I said, he goes, you got our word on that one. It's stupid me. I was stupid enough to believe him. He didn't retire. He went off another 3 or 4 years of hurting people. So the bottom line is, I don't know why I got into my high school journalism career, but I did. And yesterday was sort of like a throwback. It just was. I mean, seeing people I hadn't seen in half a century, and like John Baca, and that was pretty cool to see him. And you know, of course, Celeste was all the little princess. And Celeste was a tough broad. She's like, she's Japanese, Filipino, something like that. But she's like 5 foot tall, 5'2" tall, and it's like 110 pounds, right? But she trained at Eddie Croft's gym down there in San Mateo, California, so she can fight. She's not, she has moves, a whole nine yards. If you were to muck with her, you would pay a severe price. And I tried to tell somebody that yesterday at the reunion. I said, you know, she's a tough broad. He goes, really? He goes, yeah. So she is a tough robber. I had some good times there. Yes, no doubt about it. Now back to the sport of boxing. Alexis Arguello, man, he's got to may he rest in peace. Of course, I miss him, and the fact that we talked maybe 2 weeks before he died, and he said that everything was cool. He wanted me to come back to Managua, where I'd been in 1999, to try to get into rehab, and that didn't work out because he was dead 2 weeks later. Of course, shot to death. Through his front door, at his front door. I've heard all these different stories. Maybe Frank 1961 could dig it up, but another version. But the bottom line is, I've heard that Arguello was shot through the door. I heard he was shot by himself. I heard he shot himself in the chest with a handgun. Then somebody said he did it with a rifle, this and that, but it turned out to be a handgun. From what I'm told, it was a handgun. So evidently, he suffered some type of gunshot wound to the center of his body with a handgun. Now, somebody told me he was shot through the door, that he was like peeking through the peephole, and there was a bullet hole in the door. I've never been able to substantiate any of that kind of stuff. Of course, and at one point in time, I had some money, and I was going to get some money backing me up, and I was going to go down to Nicaragua and uncover the truth, right? Until I realized, I'll be dead soon. I'll be dead too. I mean, if I ask the questions I want to ask, I'm going to be a dead man. It's just the way it is. I mean, come on, the government took him out. He was a mayor of Managua, Nicaragua. He was the most popular figure in the entire country, without a doubt. I mean, there was no more popular person ever in Nicaragua's history than Alexis Arguello. He was destined to be president. There was just absolutely no doubt about it. But then again, you know, he went against, evidently, they say he went against the Sandinistas, that communist or socialist group down there, and he went against them, and of course, they were ruling the country, and when he went against them, that they whacked him. So I really don't know whether they whacked him or whether he committed suicide. There is a slight chance he committed suicide. So some people do think that, but I think that's something to throw us off. I think without a doubt it was a government hit. And of course, I really miss him. That took place, I think, in 2009. Of course, in 1999, I went down to Managua, got him straight. And in 2000, I remember at the International Boxing Hall of Fame up there in Canison, New York, he told, was it Tim Scott? It was Tim, something like that, the black guy from the New York Daily News. He goes, this guy saved my life. This guy saved my life. And you know, I was mind blowing. It just was. And the fact that, of course, he had 8 or 9 more productive years before he would either shoot himself or get shot. This, that. How do you shoot yourself in the chest and there's no gun around? That kind of stuff. That's what sort of blew my way about that. They said at first they couldn't find the gun. Then they said they found a handgun. I mean, you don't. If somebody shoots themselves, it's not like they shoot themselves in the chest and then go hide the gun and come back and lay down. Something happened there. There's no doubt about it. Let's roll to a break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline.
I know that Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about $1 a day. U.S. News & World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about $1 a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as $1 a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-918-6189. 800-918-6189. 800-918-6189. That's 800-918-6189.
You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later.
800-247-6135. 800-247-6135. That's 800-247-6135.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Well, I'm on Ring Talk, and as you know, this is one of the first shows that got onto the internet. My friend Pedro is a true fighter in his own mind, I should say. But he really is. I seen him exercising the other day, getting ready for somebody. I don't know who it is, because everybody is taking shots at him. So I see him getting himself in good condition so that he could fire back. Never been one to say die. Never been one to hide out. He comes on, damn near torpedoes, full steam ahead.
Now that is the world's greatest promoter, the King of Nap himself, Don King, talking about myself, yours truly, and of course, at that point in time, I was sparring with Saul Mambi, who was a former WBC junior welterweight champion of the world, of course, and I dazzled him. I looked fabulous. There's no doubt about it. And Don said to me, hey, Pedro, you want to box? You got to be kidding me. I was like 30 years old. You got to be kidding me. And of course, I had been hurt and fell through a roof, hurt my arm, broke my arm, all that kind of good stuff. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, the 11th of October, Jaron Ennis, of course, the guy from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the hot shot, the guy that had the welterweight title, moved up to 154 without doing him much at 147. But the bottom line is he's still undefeated. He's taking on Usman Lima. That's going to be the 12-round main event. That's going down in the zone. It's going to be October 11, 2025 at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Wow, that's going to rock. It'll be 5 o'clock. Is that 8 o'clock Eastern time? Wow, that's a late fight. Anyway, bottom line is I'm looking forward to November 22nd. No, not that it's because of the anniversary when President Kennedy was killed here, of course, the last coup d'etat here in the United States. No, no. The fact that David Benavidez is the best fighter in the world, undefeated now, what, 30-0, 31-0, 25 knockouts, 26 knockouts, something like that. Bottom line is he is impeccable. There's no doubt about it. He really is. So when you look at his record and the fact that he wasn't able to get the Canelo Alvarez fight because Alvarez wouldn't fight him, he was the number one contender for 3.5 years. You know, you heard Ali Frazier earlier in the show. Imagine imagine Joe Frazier telling Muhammad Ali, I'm not going to fight you. Because that's basically what Canelo Alvarez did. He's told, you know, David Benavidez, I'm not going to fight him. And he didn't, of course. Now Benavidez is going to fight Anthony Yardy in defense of a WBC 175-pound crown. Now, initially, he was supposed to fight Dmitry Bivol for the title, for the real title. Of course, he was the interim champion. Are you confused? Yeah, the WBC has two champions per weight class, so they can double-click, you know, double-charge on the on going out for title belts, you know, because they get 2% of each fighter. 2% of each fighter. In other words, 2% of a purse. Unless the fighter's making zillions of dollars, he signs an agreement with the WBC to give them 2% of his purse, the winner or the loser. So if you're losing 2% right off the bat, looks like the WBC is the one that's making all this money. There's no doubt about Mauricio Suleiman and his people. Anyway, as far as the future is concerned, I think that's going to be the next big fight, November 22nd. Anthony Yardy and David Benavidez will be taking place in Saudi Arabia. Of course, I'm totally against the Saudi Arabian involvement in boxing, but what can I do? I have to report on the events, okay? But I'm against it. I think it's bad. I think this guy, I don't want to disrespect the guy, but the bottom line is I call him Turkey Beef Jerky, okay? But the bottom line is, you know, he's got a lot of money, more money than anybody can imagine. He can do anything he wants as far as buying fighters and things like that. And now they want to regulate boxing, him and Dana White, and they don't want to pay people big money. They want to pay him nickels and dimes. So at the end of the day, I think boxers lose. If this boxing, this Muhammad Ali Boxing Revival Act takes place, if it becomes law and Sid Sharan says it will, boxers are doomed. Straight up. This has been another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Listen, yesterday's show, check this out. The impeccable one, I will say, did you mess up? Because there's something wrong with the situs back there, right? Turned out it was the vice president that messed up. So he's still undefeated. Still undefeated. I'm talking about Bailey Peck. Straight up, this has been another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Bailey, take it away, my brother.